Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elise Stefanik, the Iran framework, what do you make of it?
Well, I do not support the current framework. I think first Congress has to have a role, and I think what's interesting to watch and to be a part of is we're seeing on the Senate side that some of our Democrats and Senator Schumer from New York State, obviously they support Congress having a role in having a say in whether this deal goes forward. This obviously was at the top of the news when Prime Minister Netanyahu came to speak to a joint session of Congress. I attended that speech proudly, and I think that he laid out the real challenges and the concerns of the current framework of the deal as it was being negotiated. Any Iran deal, for me, needs to require basically not allowing, not providing Iran with a nuclear weapons capability, and this deal does not do that. I think that if you look at the Middle East today and you look at some of our allies, the concerns that countries like Israel, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia have with the current framework, I think we ought to be paying more attention. I think this administration should be paying more attention to what our allies think in the region, because we do not want to have this deal have the consequences of cascading other nations seeking nuclear weapons capability.
Do you have a favorite among the Republican emerging candidates for president?
I don't have a current favorite. I think that it's a really interesting field of candidates. I think that you have some generational diversity. I also think that we are in a really good position in terms of the background. So we have former governors, current senators, and I think that it will be a much more interesting debate. And I think that I'll be pretty proud of the candidates on the debate stage, just because I think it's an exceptional field, more so than we've had, at least since I've been paying attention to politics.
Now, Hillary Clinton generally pulls very well in New York State. Does that represent any kind of threat to you as a sitting congressperson that people will come out in a Democratic for a Democratic candidate in a presidential election that they wouldn't otherwise?
Well, I've gotten a lot of support from Democrats and independents in the district. If you look at the margin in the 21st district, this is usually a district that's won by a few points. I won this race by over 20 points. So I think that my message and my track record of working hard in the district, doing the hard shoe leather of traveling the district, having, you know, listening to voters, and that's something that actually Senator Clinton did very well in her 2000 campaign. She did a listening tour of upstate New York, and I think that's a really important part of the job. I also, what I've been noticing is so many of the constituent services is many citizens' major face-to-face contact with the office, and we really pride ourselves on my team in getting back to people very quickly on issues like their veterans benefits or Social Security questions or visa questions. We have an ace casework team, and I think that's paid off. But I also think, you know, being able to point to my record of working on a bipartisan basis, proposing solutions, digging into local issues that may not be in the national headlines but are really important to the district is going to put me in a strong position for reelection. I've gotten a lot of support from, you know, not just Republicans and conservatives, but Democrats. Some of the Democratic county chairs have attended my events and have been really encouraging. Some of the Democratic town supervisors have been very appreciative of the attention that I'm paying to the local issues.
So let me ask you this. I mean, this is a weird question, and I'll get some criticism for it. But, you know, you're young, you're a woman. Those are all things that Republicans are contemporarily having to deal with, you know, in terms of getting voters. What? Just what? If some creative genius for one of the presidential candidates comes to you and say, Elise Stefanik, we'd like you to run for vice president.
Well, first of all, they would never do that because the first rule of whoever you think is a vice presidential nominee is they have to be ready to take over the job. That would never happen. That would call into question whether they're doing their, their constitutional homework.
And it's not going to happen because of the age differential in the Constitution, obviously.
But, you know, that's not even, I think, an option right now. I would like to be a part of the discussions about the direction of the country. I hope that the presidential campaigns, and they have reached out to me, but I really am focused on doing the best job I can representing this district. But I do hope to be able to add ideas. That's why I ran for office, is trying to change the culture in Washington and bring in a new generation of ideas. I have a lot of ideas that I'm working on, and I'm not quite ready to unveil yet, but how we can better use technology to not only have a smaller government, but a smarter, more efficient government that is more responsive to constituents. And I think that's something that either a Republican or a Democratic administration should embrace.
The GOP budget plan has been, you know, vilified by the Democrats as being too right-wing and not really fair enough to the people who need it the most. What do you make of it?
I voted in support of the second budget. So there were two Republican budgets that were brought up actually there were more than two, but the two out of the budget committee was the first one, which is called Price One. Tom Price is the chairman of the budget committee. It didn't have the same number of defense spending as the budget that I voted in support of, which was negotiated with the Armed Services Committee and the budget committee. My priority, again, was making sure that the 21st District had a voice in this discussion. And Fort Drum is obviously a very important part, not just of New York State, but particularly of the 21st Congressional District. It's the largest single-site employer in New York State, and it's just a huge economic driver.
And what's its status right now, Elise?
The status on Fort Drum, in March we had a listening session with an official from the Pentagon, and it was basically an opportunity for the community to speak out against some of the cuts that may potentially happen stemming from sequestration. And I put together a congressional delegation letter. I had every member of the New York delegation sign on to it, and that was my first real experience working on the House floor, you know, getting everybody to pay attention to Fort Drum and seeking out all the New Yorkers, and some of whom this is the first opportunity I had to meet them, some of the downstate representatives. And Charlie Rangel, I have to note, was very helpful in helping me identify who the other people were on the floor, and he signed on to the letter, as did Paul Tonko, as, of course, did Chris Gibson and John Katko. So it was really a delegation effort. What I think has been the biggest breakthrough for Fort Drum is Secretary Carter, the new Secretary of Defense. His first domestic visit was to Fort Drum about 2 weeks ago, and I was pleased to welcome him there. But during his remarks, one of the servicemen asked him, is Fort Drum going anywhere? Is Fort Drum going to close? And Secretary Carter said very definitively, Fort Drum is here to stay. The role that it's played is irreplaceable. And that was a big breakthrough for me.
Elise Stefanik, we love talking to you. Elise Stefanik, New York 21, 21st District, just elected youngest woman in the history of the United States Congress. And we so appreciate your being here. We hope you'll come back real soon.
Thanks, Alan.